Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by Aftersight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. Today, we will be reading the following articles: Step by Step, How to Weather a Tank Car, and LED Strips for a Lower Deck. The first article is Step by Step by Steve Miazga. How to Model an Industry-Specific Vehicle. I recently completed Blair Line's fertilizer plant for my N-scale Misabi Junction railway layout. The laser-cut wood kit is based on prototype buildings found in many rural communities. Full-size plants receive granular fertilizer in covered hoppers. After traveling through augers and conveyors, the fertilizer is stored in bays inside the plant. The product is then loaded into trucks like the one shown above for application in farm fields. I had the fertilizer plant and covered hoppers, but an extensive online search for 1 to 160 fertilizer spreader trucks came up empty. Instead of waiting for someone to produce one, I made my own. I wanted a tandem axle truck that would fit the earlier end of my layout's 1960 to 1990 era. This led me to purchase a Classic Metalworks International R190 refrigerated box truck. The box was easy to remove with a sharp hobby knife. With the truck prepared, it was time to work on the fertilizer spreader box. Follow along as I share my techniques for designing and building this distinct vehicle for farm country. Steve Miazga lives in Pewaukee, Wisconsin with his wife, Jenny. His article, quote, How to Make Trees from Natural Materials, end quote, appeared in the September 2023 issue. Step 1. Designing the body. Over the years, I've modified several Classic Metalworks trucks for other industries on my N-scale layout. I researched what I'd have to build from scratch for the truck-mounted fertilizer spreader. I focused my research on truck dealers that specialized in farm equipment. I found that most truck-mounted fertilizer spreader bodies are a basic hopper with angled sides and one or two spreader discs on the back for distributing the fertilizer. A large number of bodies are constructed, in part or entirely, of stainless steel to minimize corrosion. Some are painted, others are bare metal. Inside, the fertilizer spreader bodies have a conveyor that moves the material to the rear for spreading or offloading. My model has bows for a rollover tarp attached to the top of the sidewalls. Ladders and walkways provide access to the top of the body for securing the tarp. I sized the length of the spreader body to match the refrigerator box that I'd removed so the underframe would match without modification. I used CAD rail to draw the basic dimensions of the body before I began construction. The dimensions are a good starting point for modeling the trucks in scales other than N. Step 2. Scratch built from styrene. I built most of the fertilizer spreader body using 20,000th inch plain styrene. I cut the larger parts from plain sheet. The walkways, bracing, and bottom of the body are assorted sizes of strip. First, I cut the side and end walls for the body. Then I scored and bent the sides at the weld lines. Next, I set the walls in a Micromark magnetic gluing jig. I used machinist blanks with the magnets to hold the parts in place while the solvent cement cured. With the side and end walls assembled, I started work on the other parts, also fashioned from styrene. I used 0.080 inch channel for the deflector plate, 0.020 inch by 0.100 inch strip for the spinner base plate, and 0.125 inch rod for the disc. I built the housing for the conveyor drive motor behind the truck cab from 0.1 inch by 0.1 inch strips. I sanded the strips to better represent a stamped metal housing with rounded edges. The assembled fertilizer spreader body and related details can be seen in Picture 3. Step 3. Finishing touches. With the fertilizer spreader body assembled, I detailed the exterior. I used 0.020-inch styrene strip to add the bracing and walkways to both sides. Next, I added a lift gate to the back of the body. I cut the gate from 0.010-inch styrene. The gate slides and gate lift lever are 0.020-inch by 0.020-inch strip. I added a strip of 0.040-inch quarter round below the gate to represent the tail of the conveyor belt that carries the fertilizer to the spreader disc. The tarp support rods are 0.5mm brass rod attached with cyanoacrylate adhesive, or CA. The ladders on the front of the body are from my scrap box. Once I'd finished detailing the body, I airbrushed it with Vallejo Gray Surface Primer, (73.601), close parentheses. After that had dried, I painted the body with the same company's silver, (71.063), close parentheses. I lightly weathered the truck with pan pastel product sealed with tester's dull coat. I used 400 grit drywall sandpaper for the conveyor belt, attaching it to the body with Alini's tacky glue. Finally, I used CA to secure the fertilizer spreader body to the truck chassis. The completed truck was then placed next to the loading conveyor at the fertilizer plant, completing the scene. The next article is How to Weather a Tank Car. Get realistic results with these easy-to-follow techniques, by Thomas Klimoski. Photos by the author. Tank cars are one of the most common car types on the rails today, second only to covered hoppers between 2009 and 2020. With more than an estimated 439,000 tank cars in service in 2020, there's a good chance you'll need a few for your layout. Fortunately, there are a variety of tank car models on the market today. With the weathering techniques outlined here, you can make those shiny plastic models look more like their full-size counterparts. Admittedly, weathering tank cars is a bit more challenging than other rolling stock because of the delicate details and unique features. A light touch is required to avoid damaging the car during the weathering process. Tank car weathering is further complicated because most are painted black, a difficult color to weather realistically. Freshly outshopped cars have a shiny finish, but it weathers to a faded grayish-black color. Over time, rust may appear on the top of the tank surface and spread down the sides of the car. Thankfully, there are plenty of prototype photos of tank cars online and in books that can serve as guides when weathering models. For this article, I weathered an Athearn HO scale 20,000-gallon acid tank car. I couldn't find a prototype photo of the car from the year I'm modeling, so I used other tank car images as references. I wanted my model to be faded and weather-worn with some rust showing through the paint. For the weathering techniques shown here, you'll need an airbrush, (I used a double-action brush, but other types will work, close parentheses), acrylic paint, a few colors of rattle can spray paint, weathering powders, and some detail parts. These methods can easily be adapted to other modeling scales. Thomas Klimoski is a frequent model railroader contributor. His HO scale Georgia Northeastern layout was featured in Great Model Railroads 2020. Scan the QR code at right to learn more about Thomas's book, Building the Right-Sized Layout. Step 1. A Clean Start. I operated the Athearn tank car on my layout for a few years straight from the box. As you can see in Picture 1, the car lacked weathering, air hoses, uncoupling levers, and yellow Federal Railroad Administration, or FRA, 224 reflective striping on the sides. In preparation for weathering, I used a soft paintbrush to remove dust that had collected on the car over the years. I then used a soft, clean rag and 70% isopropyl alcohol to wipe down the car, in Picture 2. This step removes skin oils and other impurities that might affect paint adhesion. From this step forward, I only handled the Athearn model while wearing nitrile gloves. With the tank car cleaned, I removed the trucks and couplers. Then I placed the car in a homemade paint jig inspired by one built by model railroader contributing editor Pell Soberg in preparation for weathering. Materials list. Cal scale. 190-276 air hoses and brackets. Detail associates. FC6215 uncoupling levers. Duplicolor. CP199 adhesion promoter. Intermountain Railway Company, 40054, 36-inch semi-scale wheel sets. Katie Quality Products Company, 158, scale head whisker couplers. Monroe Models Weathering Powder, 3103, medium earth, and 3107, dark earth. Rust-Oleum, 191-8830, camouflage flat earth brown, and 249086 Painter's Touch 2X Flat Red Primer. Smokebox Graphics R187 FRA 224 Stripes Yellow. Tamiya 81030 X-20A Thinner 81302 XF-2 Flat White 81309 XF-9 Whole Red and 81368 XF-68 NATO Brown. Step 2. Airbrush Weathering. I used Tamiya acrylic paints to weather the tank car. Though some modelers prefer isopropyl alcohol to thin Tamiya acrylics, I used the company's X-20A thinner to get more predictable results. This weathering technique uses a lot more thinner than paint, so have plenty on hand. To give the black car a faded appearance, I used XF-2 flat white. I poured 5 milliliters of thinner into the paint cup on my airbrush, then added 8 to 10 drops of white paint. I mixed the paint into the thinner using a small brush. Once thoroughly mixed, I tested the paint on a scrap piece of paper before applying it to the model. The paint is quite thin, so don't try to cover the model in one or two coats. Instead, build up the effect in several light layers, allowing each to dry before applying the next. I applied a bit more paint on the top and upper side to the car, as those areas are the most exposed to the sun. After cleaning my airbrush, I poured more thinner into the paint cup. Then I added XF-68 NATO Brown by dipping a small paintbrush into the jar and swishing it around inside the thinner-filled paint cup. Though not precise, it worked well for this application. I sprayed the entire car with thinned NATO Brown to simulate dirt and road grime. I also airbrushed the crossover platforms on the ends of the car as well as the brake rigging on the bottom. The final color I used was XF-9 Whole Red. I cleaned my airbrush and mixed the paint in the same manner as before. Once I was pleased with how the thinned color looked on paper, I committed it to the model. I sprayed the thinned Whole Red on top of the car, moving the airbrush over the long axis of the model, allowing the paint to feather out slightly down the sides. I set the car aside to dry overnight and moved on to the next steps. Step 3. Wheels and Trucks. The wheels and trucks on a tank car require more attention than those on other freight cars because they're highly visible. I replaced the factory-applied wheel sets with Intermountain 36-inch semi-scale wheels. As the name suggests, these have a narrower wheel tread. To give the blackened metal wheel sets a more realistic appearance, I placed them in a laser-cut acrylic painting jig from American Model Builders. The jig holds the wheels and masks the treads. I spray-painted the wheel sets with Rust-Oleum Camouflage Flat Earth Brown. Do this in a well-ventilated area and wear a respirator, nitrile gloves, and eye protection. Once the paint had dried, parentheses 24 hours or until there's no discernible odor, close parentheses, I used a toothpick to scrape paint off the tips of the axles and overspray from the wheel treads. This helps keep the model free rolling. I then applied Monroe Models Medium Earth Weathering Powder to the wheel faces. The self-adhering powder adds a rusty texture to the faces. Keep the powder off the axle tips and wheel treads. Next, I turned my attention to the trucks. Most model train manufacturers cast their trucks in slippery engineering plastic, which doesn't take paint well. To remedy that issue, I masked the wheel sockets and sprayed the trucks with Duplicolor Automotive Primer Adhesion Promoter. After the adhesion promoter dried, I spray painted the trucks with Rust-Oleum Flat Earth Brown. The next day, I used a paintbrush to apply Monroe Models Dark Earth weathering powder to the side frames. The powder gives the trucks a dark, rusty appearance and helps the details stand out. I used the same company's medium earth powder to add highlights to the springs and bearing caps. Step 4. Coupler upgrade. While I was working on the tank car, I replaced the factory couplers with Kady No. 158s. The scale head metal whisker couplers are the standard for my rolling stock fleet. Contemporary full-size tank cars used to transport hazardous materials are fitted with double shelf couplers designed to remain engaged during switching operations and derailments. Though HO scale versions are available, they're difficult to uncouple with a bamboo skewer, as I do during operating sessions. To paint couplers in groups of 8, I made a homemade jig using a paint stir stick and spring-loaded clothespins. With the couplers in the jig, I applied a light base coat of Rust-Oleum Camouflage Flat Earth Brown. Apply the paint sparingly, otherwise the couplers won't work properly. I followed that up with a light mist of Rust-Oleum Painter's Touch 2X Flat Red Primer. As the paint was drying, I wiggled the coupler trip pins to keep the knuckles from sticking. After the paint had dried, I burnished the coupler knuckle faces with a standard number 2 pencil. This serves two purposes. First, the graphite in the pencil acts as a lubricant and makes it easier for the couplers to engage. Second, it removes paint from the face of the knuckle, simulating the wear found on prototype couplers. Since I don't use uncoupling magnets on my layout, I also removed the trip pins on my couplers. This step is optional depending on how you operate your model railroad. Step 5. Safety stripes. Since my HO scale Georgia Northeastern model railroad is set after 2005, I needed to add Federal Railroad Administration, or FRA 224 striping, to both sides of the tank car to follow prototype practice. On full-size freight cars and locomotives, the stripes, parentheses yellow or white, close parentheses, improve the visibility of trains at night. Though FRA 224 stripes are available as water slide decals from various manufacturers, I used reflective stripes from Smokebox Graphics. The manufacturer's set R187 includes factory-cut self-adhesive stripes in common sizes for most cars. I used prototype photos as a guide when adding the stripes to the model. It's important to install the stripes before using any weathering powders on the car to ensure maximum adhesion. After the stripes were in place, I used a toothpick to burnish them to the car. Step 6. Focused weathering. Though the double-action airbrush worked well for simulating faded paint and road grime, I switched gears and used weathering powders and a paintbrush to recreate specific effects. To keep the powders out of the foam work cradle, I lined it with a paper towel before setting the model in place as shown in the two photos below. Then I used a paintbrush to apply vertical streaks of Monroe Models Medium Earth Powder under the platform board support brackets. I applied the powder heaviest near the brackets and feathered it out as I worked down the car side. Then I turned my attention to the ends and bottom of the car. I applied weathering powder where dirt and grime would be kicked up by the wheels. After I applied the weathering powder with a small brush, I used a clean, large, soft brush to feather the powder out. Step 7. Finishing touches. With the weathering complete, I wrapped up the tank car project by adding detail associates, uncoupling levers, and CalScale air hoses and brackets. Prior to installation, I spray painted the uncoupling levers flat black. While the paint was drying, I used cyanoacrylate adhesive, or CA, to attach an eye bolt to the bottom of the crossover platform on both ends. I placed it near the outside edge and as close as possible to the stirrup step. Once the CA had cured, I threaded the uncoupling lever through the eye bolt and attached the coupler end to the bottom of the draft gearbox cover with canopy glue. Next, I installed the air hoses. First, I used a sewing pin to place a tiny dab of silver paint on the glad hand connection on the black plastic castings. I then attached the hose to the side of the draft gearbox with a canopy glue. The air hose should be on the side of the draft gearbox opposite the uncoupling lever. Since the cars on my layout aren't handled that much, and to avoid reducing the effect of the weathering powders, I decided not to spray the tank car with a clear, flat finish, such as Tester's Dull Coat. I reinstalled the trucks, checked the couplers against a height gauge, and placed the car back into service on my model railroad. Full-size tank cars don't stay clean and shiny for so long, so don't put off weathering your models. The methods outlined here aren't difficult to learn, and you'll be pleased with the results. The next article is LED strips for a lower deck. Energy-efficient lighting that costs less and might last forever, by Jim Kelly. Photos by Roan Kelly. We are living in the midst of a slow and silent revolution. For the past 25 years or so, light-emitting diodes, or LEDs, have been steadily improving and taking over every aspect of electric lighting. Tungsten filament light bulbs are going the way of the dinosaurs, as are fluorescent fixtures, and all of this keeps happening at a quickening pace. Like most things electronic, some of you will know all about LEDs, others, myself included, not so much, although I now know more than I did. I first saw these devices on light boards for N-scale locomotives. Because they emit no heat and last for just about forever, they were a big improvement over the grain of wheat and rice bulbs used earlier. In hardwiring DCC decoders into locomotives, I also learned LEDs can, quote, blow up really good, end quote, if you hook them up incorrectly. Lighting up. When the time came to illuminate the 12-foot-long lower deck of my N-scale layout, I decided to become adventuresome and do it with LED light strips. I had discovered what they were when I installed an LED light fixture in the closet that houses the helix connecting the two decks. To wire that feature, I had to disassemble it, and inside I saw my first LED strip, a thin strip of circuit board with square LEDs spaced every half inch or so. The amount of light produced was astonishing. This, I thought, is the way to go. Step two in this adventure was to go to the internet and learn more about these products. A vast amount of information and devices were available. Should you find it daunting, join my club. I quickly made two important discoveries. First, you can buy flexible LED strips of various lengths on reels. And second, some, parentheses maybe most, and parentheses, of the LED strips can be controlled with a dimmer switch. Also, and I think this is quite important, the LEDs run off a 12-volt power supply, a much safer option than having 110-volt household current running inside the layout. The components I used, which I purchased from Amazon, are shown in picture 1. I'm not specifying what I used here because these products, made in China, change constantly and are available with a large range of features and prices. There may be better options than those I chose. If you have a lighting store in your area, I recommend going there and talking to an expert. The big box stores carry LED strips and supplies, but their lines are comparatively skimpy. The designers of LED products really didn't have model railroad lighting in mind. These products are aimed more at home decorators. There are strips that can change colors, fade in and out, blink, dance, and do all sorts of tricks. There are also various shades of white available. I am happy with mine, which are bright white. I first ordered the LED reel, the power supply, and the dimmer switch, and when I hooked them together experimentally, the light was blazing, even with the dimmer switch set as low as I could go and keep the LEDs on. However, I bought the least expensive dimmer, proving you get what you pay for. The points of light problem. Soon arose another problem I'd never heard of. Each LED caused a bright spot of reflection on top of the rails. Needless to say, this was very distracting. The LEDs are encased in a plastic coating which functions also as a diffuser, but in this case that wasn't sufficient. I needed more diffusion. Back to the internet, and I discovered that you can purchase diffusers that were just what I was looking for. Even better is they came with aluminum channels that you can mount your strips in. These are also shown in picture 1. At first, I had planned to just glue the strip itself here and there to the bottom of the upper deck joists, but using these channels would incorporate the strips into miniature light fixtures and yield a neater and better protected installation. The finished LED strip, quote, sandwich, is shown in picture 2. These assemblies weighed almost nothing and required no support structure beyond what was already present in the upper deck. The strips take up very little space, and this is especially important in N-scale layouts where the bus wires, feeders, and switch machines are close together. You can buy light strips with a peel-and-stick adhesive on the back, and I wished I had. I used 2 rolls of Scotch half-inch wide double-sided foam tape to attach mine. The diffusers can seem difficult to mount into the track, but if you get one end started and then roll it in by drawing your thumb along it, you'll find it mounts easily. The diffusers helped a lot, but the light dots problem persisted. One final measure resolved it. I stripped the diffusers back out of the tracks and lightly sprayed the outer surface with a rattle can of Tester's Dull Coat. I need to emphasize the word lightly. You do lose a considerable amount of illumination with a dull coat. With the project finished, I am quite happy with the result. There's always something, though. The desert scene now makes the town scene above it look drab. I now plan to brighten up the town of Tehachapi by installing LED shop lights above. I suspect my adventures with LEDs have only just begun. Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at AfterSight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you.